Bibles, if you would, and look with us. I'm going to ask you to turn to the book of Matthew, the 12th chapter. No, I'm sorry, Jonah, the first chapter, and then Matthew 12. Jonah, chapter 1, hold your finger there, and then Matthew 12. In Matthew 12, reading our theme text for this study, beginning with verse 38. Then certain of the scribes of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Then turn over to Jonah, the book of Jonah, chapter 1, and I'm going to begin reading with verse 6. And remember, if you remember, this happens as the storm has hit the ship that Jonah is fleeing from God in, beginning with verse 6. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which has made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you so much, God, for this church. I thank you, God, for the sweet spirit that's here. I thank you, God, that we can have a business meeting. And God, we can laugh and rejoice in the Lord. I thank you for that. I thank you, God, Lord, for this time that you've given us, God, to study your word. And Lord, we ask you to take control right now. God, our hearts are hungry. We desire to be fed from thy word. We desire to learn. We desire, God, to understand. Give us understanding, Lord. Take control. Glorify thy Son. God, we'll praise you for it all. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. We are studying One Greater Than Jonah. This is part 6 in our study. If I were to subtitle this session tonight, I'd call it Greater in Judgment. Last week we looked at Greater in the Storm. Tonight, the subject is Greater in Judgment, because that's what we're going to be looking at. Beloved, Jesus is greater than Jonah in the area of judgment. There is no doubt that Jonah was a great, great prophet of God. I mean, he was. But beloved, he was a foolish, foolish prophet. I say that because Jonah actually believed that he could run from God. I mean, how ridiculous is that? God, beloved, commanded Jonah to go and preach to the Ninevites. But Jonah, beloved, chose not to obey God. His flesh didn't want to do that. His flesh, beloved, didn't want. He hated the Ninevites. And in his flesh, he didn't want to preach to them. So he chose not to obey God. He chose to follow his flesh and not the Lord, beloved. To do what he wanted and desired instead of what God commanded. Now, let that sink in for just a moment. Beloved, in other words, Jonah ran. He ran rather than obey God. He ran. Have you ever heard of anything, beloved, more foolish than that? You know, I've thought about Jonah running. And you know, beloved, the truth is that every time, now think about this. Every time we disobey God, Christian, every time we, beloved, follow the flesh instead of following, thus saith the Lord, beloved, we are running from God. We're running from God. We've got the same choice Jonah did. Obey God or follow the flesh. And beloved, Jonah followed the flesh and ran. And when we won't obey God, when we disobey God, we are following the flesh and we are running from God. Beloved, we all are either walking with God in obedience or we are running from God in disobedience. Amen? Amen. You know, y'all were pretty loud during the business meeting. Now it's time to get loud for sure. Amen? So give me some amens once in a while. Let me say that again. We are all either walking with God in obedience or we are running from God in disobedience. When God tells us to pray, when God tells us to live holy, when God tells us to abstain from fleshly lust, when God tells us to witness, when God tells us, beloved, to love, when God tells us to forgive, when God tells us to be faithful to His house and to His work, when God tells us to tithe, when God tells us to study, to show ourselves approved, whatever God commands us to do, if we don't obey Him, beloved, we are running in disobedience, running from God, running from God. Oh, listen. There's a lot of foolish Christians around who are running from God, just like Jonah, just like Jonah. Jonah ran in disobedience, but why? I mean, why did he run? What did he think, beloved, he was going to gain by running from God? First of all, beloved, listen, you can't get away from God, amen? You can't get away from God. All you can do, beloved, is bring God's displeasure and God's anger upon you if you disobey and run from God. Amen? I mean, that's all that can happen. What I'm saying is, listen, you can't get away with it. You can't get away with disobeying God. Folks, you can't get away with saying no to God and following the flesh. But Jonah had it in his mind that he could. So does everyone, beloved, who disobeys the Lord. They've got it in their mind, I can disobey God, and I can get away with it. I can run from God. I can run from God. I'll not be faithful to His house. Oh, I know God says that we're not supposed to forsake ourselves together. I know it's a command of God, but hey, I'm not going to be faithful, and I'll get away with it. God won't come after me. He won't come after me. God, I'm not going to tithe. I'll get away with it. I know God says bring the tithe into the storehouse. I know what God says, but I'm not going to tithe. I've got things I want to do with this money. And I'll get away with it. I'll get away with it. I'll run from God. I'll not love. I'll get away with it. I'll not love that person and I'll get away with it. I'll not witness. I'll get away with it. I'll not serve God. I'll get away with it. Foolish, foolish, foolish thought. You can't run from God. You can't get away with it. You can't get away with it. Your disobedience is sin. Amen? My disobedience is sin. Don't think I'm just pointing at you. What does the Bible say? Be sure your sin will find you out. That's what God says. Amen? You know, we say we believe this book, every jot and every tittle, beloved. That's part of it. That's part of it. And let me. I'm not changing the verse one iota when I say this. Your sin shall find you out, or will find you out. Your disobedience will find you out, because that's what disobedience is. It's sin. It's sin. Jonah thought, if I disobey God and run, my life will be better. Hey, I'll be doing what I want. I'll be enjoying the flesh. I'll be happier. I'll be freer. I'll be richer. I'll be better if I disobey God and run. Think of all the enjoyment that I'll experience doing what I want to do instead of obeying God and preaching to the Ninevites. Foolish. Foolish thought. I remember years ago, my first pastorate, young preacher boy. Boy, I had a mess. I had a lady in the church. She was married, Christian. She was seeing one of the men in the church. She was contemplating leaving her husband and getting with this guy. I went and sit down and talked with her, because I had gotten wind of it. I knew what they were thinking, what they were planning, and I sit down with her and I began to talk to her. And she, beloved, began to explain to me all this, and how wonderful things were going to be when she disobeyed God and left her husband for this other man. I mean, she, beloved, she went through the whole rigmarole. She told me how better her life was going to be. She told me how fuller her life was going to be, how happy she would be if she left her husband for that other man. And I looked at her after she got through her spiel. And I said, sis, you got it. You got it all planned out, haven't you? You got it all mapped out what you're going to do. I said, but there's one thing that you've forgotten. You've forgotten God. Because if you disobey God, believe me, God will come after you. God will come after you. Because God is going to judge you if you do this thing. And I told her, I said, I don't know how God's judgment is going to come upon you. And there was a picture of her little daughter there side the bed. And I looked at that and I said, I don't know what God would do. But what if God were to take that baby from you? Is it worth it to run from God? To disobey God? That's the way Jonah was. He reasoned, oh, I'll be happier because I don't want to go to Nineveh. My flesh will enjoy seeing, hearing about them perishing. I don't want to go to Nineveh. I'll be better. I'll be okay if I disobey God. Boy, did he find out different. Woo. Man, did he find out different. And so will all those who run from God in disobedience. Beloved, Jonah went to Joppa and he bought a passage on a ship bound for Tarshish. Folks, he was going. Now you got to get a map of the Mediterranean in your mind. Joppa's this way from where he was. Excuse me, Nineveh's this way from where he was. Brother, he took a ship at Joppa for Tarshish. This way. And Tarshish, beloved, was as far as you could go in those days. So he was going the opposite way that God told him to go. And beloved, as far as he could go, he was going. So he set sail. But then, guess what? The storm came. The storm came. You see, Jonah's day of judgment had come. It had come, beloved. Now, you know, when we disobey God, there is a day of judgment for us. And it may be soon or it may be far off. But, beloved, believe me, time don't mean anything to God. That day of judgment is coming. Jonah's day of judgment had come, and he had disobeyed God, run from God. He was happy with that. He was content with that. In fact, he was so content that, brethren, he was in the hold of the ship sleeping. I mean, he wasn't worried about it. Hey, I'm not worried about God. I got this. I'm happy. I'm doing what I want to do. He was content. Foolish Jonah, don't you know? Don't you know? Your judgment is coming.
Amen. That's right.
It's coming. So there Jonah was asleep. And suddenly, beloved, he was awakened by, of all people, listen, the ship's master, the captain of the ship. Wake up, sleeper. Don't you realize you're in a storm? Don't you realize you're about to lose everything? Wake up and call upon your God. Beloved, Jonah's day of judgment had come. Folks, do we realize as we disobey God that our day of judgment is coming? It's coming. Not only in the storm that God may allow in our lives, beloved, to correct us like we talked about last week. Y'all remember that? You don't remember that. I'll go back and preach that one, then I'll come back to this one. Not only in the storm that God may allow in our lives to correct us, like we talked about last week, but eventually, beloved, listen, at the judgment seat of Christ, our judgment is coming. It's coming. It's coming. Are you ready for this? Jonah in that ship that day is a type of the disobedient Christian before the judgment seat of Christ. Before the judgment seat of Christ. Notice this, beloved. The crew shot questions at Jonah. I mean, they were firing off questions at him like they were shooting a machine gun. Look in Jonah chapter 1, verse 8. Jonah 1 and verse 8. Listen to what it said. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? And what is thy country? And of what people art thou? Beloved, Jonah was questioned about his past. Are you the cause of this evil? What's your occupation? From whence did you come? What's your country? What people are you? Beloved, here is another type in the book of Jonah, a type of the judgment seat of Christ. Turn in your Bibles. Turn in your Bibles. Second Corinthians, verse 10. What is the judgment seat of Christ? What is that? Bible tells us, beloved, that all are going to stand before God. Amen? Amen. But there's a judgment of the lost, and there's a judgment of Christians. The judgment seat of Christ is the judgment of Christians. Look at what it says for 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. The Bible says, now Paul is talking, beloved, to the Corinthian church. He's talking to Christians. Listen to what he says. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Who is that? We all. All the saved. All the Christians. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Christian, you better pick up your ears right here. Because God is telling us that, beloved, since you got saved, God has kept a record of your Christian life. And you and I and all of us are going to stand before God, Christ. And we are going to give an account, whether it be good or bad,
for the life that we have lived as a servant of God. As a servant of God. Look in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Go back one book. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians 3. I'm going to start reading with verse 10. Listen to this. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he had built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. You know what Paul's telling us? He's saying, beloved, Jesus Christ is the foundation. We as Christians, we are building on that foundation. What we do, the way we serve, the way we live, our obedience, our faithfulness, we are building on that foundation. But the day's coming, beloved, when we're going to stand before Him, and beloved, our works are going to be passed through that fire. And if it's gold and silver and precious stones, praise God, it's going to come out the other side. But if it's wood, hay, and stubble, it's going to be burned up. Amen. And we are going to suffer loss. Loss. Oh, it's coming. It's coming, folks. As sure as the storm and the fish came for Jonah because of his disobedience, God's judgment is coming for us as His servants, as His followers. We each will stand before our Master, beloved, and questions will be asked concerning our service, concerning our obedience, concerning our faithfulness, our love for Him, our motives, our stewardship, and we will be judged and either receive reward or suffer loss. Or suffer loss. Let me ask you something. If the rapture would happen right now and we'd find ourselves before the judgment seat of Christ, how would you fare right this moment? How would you fare in your obedience, in your faithfulness, in your stewardship? How would you fare? Folks, Jonah didn't fare well at all. He was still saved. You follow me? He was a disobedient servant of God, but he was still saved. Somebody says, preacher, that's all I care about, being saved. You think so? Wait and see, my friend. Wait and see if that's all you care about. When you stand before Him, the mighty God. Wait and see. Jonah was saved, but oh, when God's judgment fell, when his disobedience and unfaithfulness was revealed, beloved, he'd have given anything to have been found obedient and faithful to God. Anything. But it was too late. It was too late. As he suffered loss at the hand of God, he'd have given anything to escape that judgment, that loss. That's why Paul said, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade you to be faithful and to obey God and to serve God and to give your all to God and listen to what God says and be obedient to Him. But old Jonah was on the hot seat, the seat of judgment, the seat of judgment. Now, here's the type of the one greater than Jonah. You see, Jesus too was placed on a seat of judgment, folks. But listen to me. He was a willing participant. He was willing. Jonah would have given anything, beloved, not to have been in that position. But Jesus was willing to sit on that seat of judgment. You see, beloved, the one greater than Jonah, listen, he embraced the judgment that he had to bear because he willingly became sin for us. For you and me, beloved, he who knew no sin, he willingly, listen, took our place, took our sin, took my sin and your sin on himself. You know, the thought of that makes me tremble. When I think of the sins in my life, and my God, my Lord, took all those terrible, awful sins I've committed on himself, the Holy One. Oh, it makes me shudder to think about it. He willingly, listen, took the judgment of God for our iniquities as he hung on that cross. Jonah's judgment was because of disobedience. Jesus' judgment on the cross was due to his obedience to God. To God. You tell me that's not the greater. Amen. Tell me that's not the greater. Jesus knowingly, willingly gave himself to bear our judgment. Oh, tell me, beloved, he is not greater than Jonah. Greater than Jonah. Wait a minute. Jesus too will be at the judgment seat of Christ. What we were just talking about a moment ago. Only he won't be the one being judged there, beloved. He'll be the one sitting in judgment. He'll be the one dishing it out. Dishing it out. He'll be the one giving the rewards. He'll be the one, beloved, causing multitudes to suffer loss as he judges their Christian life. Is that not right, folks? I mean that Jesus should judge us. Listen, we're his servants. He's our Lord and our Master. Listen, he bought you with a price, beloved, and the price was his own blood, every drop of his blood he shed for you. Oh, listen to me, beloved. He's the captain of our ship.
Amen. That's right.
Of our ship. Is it not right that he should judge us? And he will. Turn in your Bibles. John chapter 5. John chapter 5. I'm almost through. John chapter 5. Look at verses 22 and 23. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. All judgment has been given to him. You know, he's the only one that really can rightly judge us. Because you see, he knows our thoughts. He knows the intents of our heart. HF can look at me, and HF can, he may look at me and say, he's a good person. He's a good, but you know, inside, I may be just as wicked and vile as can be. But HF can't see that. But Jesus can see in here. He can see the thoughts of our minds and the intents of our hearts. He's the only one that can really judge us, folks. And he's the only one, beloved, who can discern what is gold and silver and precious stones in me or what is wood and hay and stubble. He's the only one that can tell.
Amen. Yes, he can.
That can tell. He was tempted in every way to disobey as we are. As we are. So he knows the trials of temptation that we go through. Hey, listen, beloved, no wonder the Lord said the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment against this generation because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. Behold, a greater than Jonah is here. Is here. And he is our judge. Look at Jonah, folks. Look at him as that captain fires questions at him. And you can sense the fear and the shame and the terror, beloved, in the eyes of that disobedient follower of God as beloved, his past is brought to light. And his failures to God. But you know what you're looking at when you look at that picture? Beloved, you're looking at a type of ourselves when we stand before our captain. And we, instead of obeying God, ran in disobedience. A picture of ourselves as we give an account of our service and our disobedience and our unfaithfulness to God. God help us. God help us to be ready when our day of judgment comes. And it's coming. It's coming. It can be the greatest thing in the world if you're an obedient follower, faithful servant. Or it can be, beloved, a terror if you're not. If you're not, we can be ready. We can be ready by repenting of our failures as his followers, by turning and start being obedient and start being servants and start meaning business for God and start loving and start obeying and start studying and start talking to people about Christ, doing the things he tells us to do, being obedient. We can be ready. We can be ready of being the obedient servant that we should be. Reward or loss, it depends on what we do now. What we do now. That's why. That's why, beloved, I harp on it over and over and over again. Because I know that one day, all of us are going to stand before him. And when you stand before him, know my heart, know his love for you. I love you. I love this church. I want this church to not be ashamed when it stands. I want you to not be ashamed when you stand before God. I don't want you to suffer loss. 98%, well, I don't know the statistic. I'll go for 99% of those that call themselves Christian are just playing games with God. Preach. Obeying what they want to obey and disregarding the rest. God's not to be toyed with. God's not to be, he's God. He's God. And our judgment is coming. It's coming. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. As Martha comes to the piano. Pray, Christian. Pray. Pray that when that day comes, though you may be saved as by fire, pray that you'll be ready, that he'll find you obedient. And not running from God. Pray for this church. Pray, because the time is soon. I believe that with all my heart. Any day the rapture could happen. And beloved, after that, we will stand before him at the judgment seat of Christ. I want you to stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed. We invite you to come for whatever reason. for whatever reason. Oh, mighty God, help us to see. Help us, God, to understand. God, give us understanding, please. Help us, God. Help us to see. Just as I am, just as I am. You may be seated, heads bowed and eyes closed. I love you all so much. Please know that. Please know that. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Praying for these who come. Brother Les, would you?